EFTM.
Tech, cars, lifestyle.
This is the EFTM podcast with Trevor Long.
EFTM.
G'day, g'day, g'day. Great to have you company. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Lots of calls to get to today. Thank you for everyone getting in touch. And we'll get to your calls real shortly. I just posted on Instagram and I thought it was a funny story to share, quite frankly. I did this story on the Today Show on Monday morning. Now, for context, this was meant to happen like 2 days after the Bondi stabbing. And so we clearly postponed it because it was a fun segment and we wouldn't do that then. So on Monday, we did a segment featuring Red Rooster. Now, if you haven't seen the segment, it was me, a bunch of actual Red Rooster foods, some red T-shirts, Carl and Sarah chatting about Red Rooster using AI to diagnose if your stomach rumbles meant that you wanted a burger or fries. That's the real TLDR short story. And here, I want to tell you the backstory because on the day we were setting that up, I heard one of the floor staff going, what's your advertorial today? And I thought, no, buddy, advertorial? What are you talking about? This is a great idea. It's a great segment. It's a segment about AI. And then just before we went on air, Carl and Sarah were going, talking to each other, going, this must be a sponsored segment. I went, no, it's not. It's just my idea. I liked it and I brought it on. And look, that's fine. People think that all the time. But it was funny because I do get that a lot. People say, oh, how much were you paid to do that segment? So I want to tell you a story about how the Red Rooster segment came about. I got a text message from someone named Sean, and his name just escapes me now. He's a talent manager. I've had his contact for many years from back when I was, I guess, dealing with talent at radio stations. Anyway, he texts me, goes, hey, Trev, got a client that I think you'd be interested in, great opportunity for content. Well, okay, here's my email address. So then this agency, like an influencer agency, and this is how the world of TikTok and Instagram and whatnot works. It was an influencer agency, reach out and they go, we've got this campaign. I'm gonna find it now. I'm gonna read you the email if I can find the original one. And we'd love you to, you know, be involved. Campaign opportunity, right? And this is, and I get lots of these. I don't think I've ever done one, right? So it was Sean Anderson. Lovely bloke. Thank you, Sean, for reaching out on this thing. But this social influencer mob said, the campaign is introducing Craveware, an AI-powered technology developed by Red Rooster Research and Development. This cutting-edge solution embedded into a bespoke Reds T-shirt listens and categorizes stomach rumbles to satisfy hunger cravings in real time. The technology then places a personalized meal order with Reds based on the intensity and duration of those tummy rumbles. And they sent me a link and they said their goal for the campaign was to encourage people to jump online and submit their stomach rumbles. And what they were asking me was that I would create a Craveware TikTok similar, and they sent me some similar ones. Oh, no, they wanted me to take a TikTok they'd done and duet or react to it, being excited about the technology, et cetera, et cetera. So this is where, and they wanted to know my rate for one TikTok and one Instagram reel. Now, I don't have a rate because I don't do sponsored content like that. So this was in early March, right? So I said, thanks for thinking of me. You had me at Red Rooster. I'm a quarter chicken and chips man with a wing, quarter chicken and chips with a wing man from way back. Sadly, I live on the wrong side of the chicken line, so it's hard to find one near me. Bit of an in-joke, but they didn't get it. And then I went on to say, anyway, I'd love to help, but I just think it would be far from organic, lack engagement, and be a complete fail. I don't do stitches. I don't do duets. I don't react to stuff. And while it's a fun idea, it's a bit far from my wheelhouse of content. Happy to find other ways to support the campaign, an article, whatever I can do, but I don't think what you're proposing is right for me. And they said, thanks for your transparency. We'll loop you in with Red Rooster's PR. Red Rooster's PR got in touch, horses bolted, off we went. And we did a cool segment on the Today Show. And I got paid zero. Now, back in March, they sent me a big box of cool Red Rooster merchandise, including a $50 Red Rooster voucher. I took, I think we kept the cap. There was a like a chips, chicken and chips cap or something. I took all the merchandise and gave it to my brother-in-law who just had brain surgery. And I thought this would be a cool gift. He'd probably love Red Rooster. Then when we did the segment, lots of chicken. I had my stupid tooth denture thing in, so I couldn't eat a thing. I ate one chip during a playoff. And at the end, Stella, the beautiful, lovely lady from Red Rooster, gave me some vouchers. And I just put them in my suit jacket pocket, inside my pocket. And I assumed they were the exact same vouchers as before, so $50 each. In fact, I didn't look at them. When I was leaving the show, I went and get to my car, and downstairs in the basement of Channel 9, there's two guys who work there. They call them valet, but they're essentially making sure that the car park is not busy and cars can move around or whatever. I gave them the vouchers because I don't need three vouchers. And I've kept one voucher because I'll definitely have a cheeky Red Rooster real soon. I got a $50 Red Rooster voucher for that segment, folks. So if you think that it's paid content, you know what? Sometimes it's just a cool idea. I thought it was a cool idea. It was a segment about AI, pegged off the fact that Red Rooster was doing AI. And we ran out of time. We didn't even get to talk about the rest of the AI. Anyway, it was just funny. So I posted on Instagram that people don't believe me, that I don't get paid for those things. But I don't. It's just content. It's just cool, interesting information. It's information. It's infotainment. Anyway, lots of calls to get through. Rob's lined them all up. Let's get cracking with the EFTM podcast. Taking your calls. If you've got a tech question, easy to get in touch. Just SMS me 0477 657 657 or send a WhatsApp 0477 657 657 or go to the website EFTM.com. Peter did that. G'day, Pete. How you doing, mate?
Good, Trevor, and yourself?
Yeah, real good. What can I do for you?
All right, mate. I've got a HP laptop I've had for a couple of years now, a few years, and I'm sick to death of it, and it's mucking up on me. And I was just wondering whether I ought to go down the Google,
Chromebook
path.
Right. Mm, so, what? Let's talk about what your daily use is. What are we when we open it up every day? What are we using?
Email. Maybe editing some photos, basic Word document stuff, Excel sometimes, not very yep. often, which leads me to another part of my question. But
where do you do your photo editing? Yeah. What software is that in?
Oh, just whatever comes up on Windows.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So basically like cropping photos and things like that?
Yeah, straightening them up. I don't do anything with colors or anything else with them. It's all too hard for me.
Yeah. So I mean – you can actually broadly, and this is an oversimplification, but you can essentially test the process by installing yeah. Google Chrome as the browser.
Yeah, which I've got. Yeah.
And then trying to do everything in the confines of Google Chrome. So, for example, right. Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel. You open up office.com, yeah. right? So instead yeah. of installing Word or using the installed versions of Word and Excel, you go to office.com and you use the software there. Edit a photo, look, I use Google Photos to do basic editing. There's also great yeah. software out there. I'm pretty sure is Affinity available on Chromebook. There's definitely photo editors available. So essentially Chromebook have their own little app store and yeah. there's a bunch of software that you can download and essentially make available through the Chromebook. So I think basic photo editing easy, your Word documents, your Excel, your email, yeah. all that stuff. Is yep. definitely possible. It's a different thing. There's no doubt in my mind, yep. right? So it took me a while to stop using Microsoft Excel. Once, yep. I don't even use Microsoft Excel in the cloud. I use Google Sheets. So whenever I want to open a spreadsheet, I just go sheets.google.com, and that's the way I open a spreadsheet. All my spreadsheets are in there. All my existing spreadsheets that are Excel files, you can import 97% of the content. All works fine. So you can very easily live in the cloud, but it's an adjustment for you. That's the number one thing I'd say.
So the downside is you can't access anything if you're offline. Is that right?
Well, no, there is some offline usage, but obviously you need to kind of set those documents to be offline. But it is a device designed to be online. But you can set some files to be offline. So what it does, it just downloads a copy of them basically, and then it synchronizes when it reconnects. So okay. It's possible. I would only be confident doing that. I'd be more confident doing that in Google apps like Sheets and Docs rather than Word and Excel. I just personally haven't done it that long. That's all.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, there's another thing too. If you go to open, I've actually had my Microsoft Office account come up for renewal and I cancelled it because I was sick to death of it.
Well, and you save money that way too. That's what I mean. Switch to Google.
Yeah. But if you open up, say, a spreadsheet, the document has to actually be in Google Drive for it to work on Sheets. Is that correct?
Yes, it does. But, you know, if you're getting that spreadsheet from your email, then I'm just going to quickly look and see. I'm going to search my email as attachment and I'm going to type XLS. I'm pretty sure that if you receive an email with a spreadsheet attached, and I'm looking at one here, When I see this, I can automatically just add it to Drive, or there's a button to edit with Google Sheets. I just click that and it's in Google Sheets. It imports it directly from my email. So if it's not if it's not coming to you via email, it's coming to you via a Dropbox or something leak. And so you're just moving it and opening it that way.
And what if you've got the majority of your documents stored on Dropbox?
I would install Dropbox as one of my key tabs, and then just open them.
So you can actually
open them direct from there, or import them directly from there. This is the great thing. Dropbox is a very much a cloud service. It probably is designed best to work with a Chromebook.
Okay, right.
Look, there's no doubt in my mind you'll hit frustration. Yeah. You will. You know, you'll come across points where you're like, oh, why have I got to do it? It's like three steps instead of one. But then there'll definitely be other times where it's one step instead of three, and it will kind of even itself out. And I think it's probably a one-month adjustment process to truly get used to things. And you might set your Chromebook up so that you actually have very clear shortcuts, icons to different things like your spreadsheets and stuff so that it feels more like apps than – See, they are on a Chromebook. They are broadly apps because they open in different windows, but really they're just tabs in a browser.
Right.
But I've used Chromebook for like a week and a half and had no issue. I do very much live in the cloud, and I live in the Google ecosystem with Dropbox as being. I don't keep documents broadly in Dropbox. I use it more for moving and storing files that I'm going to share. I don't really use Google Drive. Except for when people send me links to Google Drive. I live and breathe Gmail, and I live and breathe Google Spreadsheets through sheets.google.com and docs.google.com. It's just such an easy thing to do. So muck around with them for a little while before you go down that path, because a good Chromebook is also not cheap these days. They used to be all $200 and $300, but now you can get like Asus have a beautiful one. I've got one somewhere here. It's a white Chromebook. It's got power, but it's nearly $1,000. And then you think, okay, what could I get for this price in Windows? And it's not going to be an i5 or an i7, but it might be a pretty simple runabout laptop that means you don't need this conversion. So, man, I think it's a bit of a balance for you, but I actually think listening to your usage, a Chromebook's a great way to go.
Yeah, yes. I don't have a lot of use these days. I don't do a whole lot of documents and stuff. So, you know, it's just basic stuff.
Mate, don't forget I'll go on a tangent here, but don't forget also an iPad with a keyboard is a powerful device. Are you in the Apple ecosystem at all, like iPhone or anything?
No, I've thrown my hat in the ring and gone in with Samsung for everything.
Then same deal. A Samsung tablet. You got Samsung Galaxy Tab S. 9, the Plus or the Ultra, whatever, get a keyboard for it. Dude, you can do so much with those things. In fact, you can plug those things into a monitor, a modern monitor with USB-C, and they work like computers then. You get a whole, like it looks like Windows. It's not, but it works that same way. So, like the portability of a tablet, I think, is massively underrated for 90% of people's usage, which is, as you say, email, documents, spreadsheets, you know, the basic stuff. So on your Galaxy phone, download Word and Excel onto that. And just, you know, obviously it's not going to represent how it works on a tablet, but just get a sense of how easy it is to, when you get an email, open it in Word or whatever, and have a play with that kind of interoperability. And you might find that a tablet's all you need, not even a Chromebook.
Okay. Yeah. I do have a Samsung tablet at the moment. It's very old and is in dire need of replacing. So I might be able to kill two birds with one stone.
There you go. And you know, because the great thing is, if you travel or anything like that, that tablet becomes the way you watch content as well as the way you do your basic emails and spreadsheets and stuff.
Mm.
Why carry two things when you can carry one?
So this keyboard, you can have a mouse as well?
Yeah. I wouldn't use a mouse a lot on a tablet, but if you were to do the docking process where you can, it's called Samsung Dex. I don't know if they call it that anymore, but anyway, where you plug a computer monitor via USB-C into the tablet, it kind of automatically initiates this kind of Windows-like environment. And then, you can pair a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse to your tablet. Easy, no dramas at all.
Okay.
The keyboard I would encourage you to get straight off the bat is just the one that you can buy with it, which attaches easily and just gives you basic keyboard functionality. Yeah. Remember, the touchscreen is your mouse.
Yeah, that's right. True. Good point.
Good luck, Pete. Sounds like you got some fun to have ahead.
You. Yes, indeed.
All right, thanks
for your time, Trevor.
Always a pleasure, mate. Anytime you get in touch.
Righto, mate.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the kind words. Right. Thank you, mate. Cheers. Peter there with looking for a Chromebook. We might get a tablet. See, we could go anywhere here. Taking your calls anytime. Get in touch.
This is the EFTM podcast.
EFTM.
Taking your calls. If you've got a tech question, 0477657657. Teresa's on the line. G'day, Teresa.
Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Really good. What can I do for you?
Okay, I've got some issues with my, we're with Optus for NBN and have been for a number of years with their internet. We've got an OptusNet email. A couple of weeks ago, I started having issues trying to send emails from my phone. I have an iPhone. Mm. I contacted Optus and they basically said, oh, there's an issue with the server, a whole range of different things. We don't know when we're going to fix it, basically. Like, I sent an email to the CEO and everything.
Wow. Which
and
CEO?
Anyway, it's a free... not the acting one, the
right.
acting CEO. Their customer relations team contacted me and said they're trying to fix it. They don't know when, don't have a time frame. Suggest I look at other email options.
Wow.
So
did they email that to you or just say that over the phone?
Well, they did email it to a Gmail email. So my question is, well, a couple of things. I've checked now and I can, if I log into my webmail on a laptop, I can actually send an email. They had a message up there to say that you need to change your authenticated email settings on your iPhone, for example. But they never contacted me back, right, like via email or messaging or anything to say.
That's my number one piece of advice here is on your iPhone, delete the account.
Yeah, okay.
So, kind of like especially big internet companies – or telcos who don't really specialize in email, one little server change might be fine for people with computers or using webmail, but Apple might have been set up with very specific settings, and now those settings don't work. So what you need is to start again. So I would go into mail and accounts and I would delete the Optus account. From your phone, that doesn't hurt at all. That's easy to recover from. Now then when you add an account, I want you to go to Optus's current website and find their instructions today for adding an account, because that's what's critical is when you put in an email address and a password, it should automatically, I believe if I'm reading their instructions as I see them right now, I believe it will automatically kind of download the correct server
settings.
And it'll work straight away. It's what's called IMAP, which is a way of synchronizing your mail. So it lives on the server and you can view, if you read an email on your computer, it shows as being read on your phone as well. That's what you want.
Okay. Yeah, I do, because I at the moment, you know, log into the laptop and all the emails are still there. So To be honest, I probably want to move away from Optus because I don't want to be.
That's my second point of call is to say, listen, the worst thing in your world, the worst thing, and I say this to anyone listening, if your email address ends in at Aussie Broadband, at Big Pond, at Optus, it doesn't matter who the telco is. And this not because they fail or there's a problem, but because you're beholden to them.
Exactly.
Because you.
Exactly right.
You know, Teresa, if I said to you, you should change telcos, you'd be like, oh, yeah, but my energy bill comes on my OptusNet email. You know, you'll find a million excuses not to change telcos when there's quite possibly a deal out there that would save you $20 a month on your internet costs. And all it requires is you to make one phone call. But because of that implication of the Optus email, it's a nightmare. Have you tried? You said you've got a Gmail account. Have you tried setting up your Gmail to check your Optus account?
No, I haven't. And that was – so my question was going to be, is Gmail safe enough for all the – like the bank accounts, you know, my service, my gov.gov, all that stuff, because I've got a list. I've been making a list as I all of these. All these accounts are linked to my OptusNet email. But essentially I want to make sure that, say, if I change – updated to a Gmail account, for example, that's going to be safe. At the moment, like the other day, I've got so much spam from my OptusNet email. It was ridiculous.
Well, so three things for you then. Firstly, Gmail and spam hate each other. So you're going to love the world of Gmail because I get very little spam. I still get some, but I get very little. Most of it gets caught by Gmail spam filter. I'm really confident that you'll have a better outcome with spam in the Gmail world. Second thing, it is a brilliant, brilliant question to ask, is Gmail a safe place to be, especially with your banking and your MyGov? Yes, if you set it up correctly. And the two things I want you to do with your existing Gmail account or a new one, whatever you do, is firstly, enable two-factor authentication. So that means that when you log into your Gmail account any way, anywhere, it will require a kind of a second code. And that code can be SMS to you. But if you want to go elite level security, I want you to install the Authenticator app from Google. Or there's other apps out there, one called Authy, A-U-T-H-Y, Authy. And what that allows you to do is in Authy, when you're setting up Google's two-factor authentication, it just shows you a QR code and you scan that with Authy. And from then on, when you want to log into your email address, you put in your email address, you put in your password, and then it says, what's your code? And you open up the Authy app and you put in the code that appears. That code only lasts 30 seconds. 30 seconds later, it's a different code. So it's a very secure way of doing it. And while you're doing that, I want you to create a brand new, very strong and secure password that you only use at Gmail.
Yeah.
See, I say to people all the time, people say, I can't remember a new password for every site. Neither can I. I've got the same password for TikTok, for Instagram, for Facebook. I've got no problem telling you that because even if I told you right now over the phone and to everyone listening my email address and password for Instagram, you can't get in because you don't have my Authy app.
I have got one password. I use a one password app, so all my passwords, and I use your iCloud keychain as well. So I've been doing that for a while. Excellent. So just a question about Authy, though you said you have to scan the QR code.
But you do it once.
How do I scan it if I'm
– That's just set up.
Oh, just set up.
Yes. So where's my phone? I'll get my phone out and I'll tell you everything I use Authy for, which is probably in itself a security risk. But anyway, I use Authy for Xero, which is my accounting. For my Gmail, for my Facebook, I have a little Bitcoin account. I use it for that. I use it for Uber. Yeah. I've got a Chemist to You account. So anyone that tries to log into any of those things with my password will require this little 6-digit code. Now I can tell you right now over the phone, my Chemist to You 6-digit code is 208462. But you know what? In about five seconds, that code expires. I'm looking at a countdown. Boom, it's expired. There's a different code.
Okay.
So it's a super secure way to go. And honestly, you'll become two-factor queen because it's a great way to operate and it's a really secure thing.
I do use it. Yeah, I do use not Authy but other authenticator apps for, like, say, Macquarie Bank. They have one as well that require you Put in the code or authenticate.
And the other thing I was going to say was try this. It doesn't always work, but in your Gmail, go to settings.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Go to settings and go to accounts, I think it is. And then there's an option to add an email. It says check email from other accounts. So what you do is you add an email account, and then it will ask you for your Optus address. It'll ask you for your Optus password. It'll ask you for the server settings. You can find all these things on the Optus website. And so then what you do is you delete the Optus account from your phone. You don't ever log into webmail again. So I just did this to my mum. My mum had a pub, and the email address was the pub email address, right? It was a domain name for the hotel. And now that she doesn't own it and she's retired, I set her up a new email address. But all the emails that used to come through to the pub, they're still coming through. But she only checks her new email address. And that means that when the old email address dies and doesn't work anymore because the new owners switch it off, won't matter.
Yeah.
Because she's got all those emails. As she replies to people, she replies from her new email address. Yeah. It becomes, in Gmail, again, become a power user. When an email comes in through your Optus email, have it highlight that or tag that as Optus so that you can remember and say to yourself, oh, I got to tell these people new email address. Or you might have to ring them up. It might be the bank and you might have to change your settings. But it's very easy to do.
When you say tag it or highlight it when it comes in,
in Gmail, a great, again, a power user feature is if you say you can set up a filter that says if it came from this address. Okay. So if the to address was, you know, my email at optusnet.com.au, then I want you to tag it Optus or whatever you want to tag it. And then there's a label. They call them labels. There's a bunch of labels down the left-hand side, and you can just look at that as your Optus email address.
Okay. One other question. Yep. Is it safe to have your surname in the email? Like Teresa.Smith?
I mean, look, I don't think it's a problem if you have the security that we've talked about. So your passwords are strong and you've got authentication. Honestly, it's totally fine.
Okay. Because at the moment I've got two Gmail email addresses and what I've been doing, I've been using one for, you know, shopping sites and, you know, like stuff like that. But I haven't, as I said, I haven't updated all the important accounts to the Gmail. And I was going to use the other one that has my surname in it purely because, I don't know, it looks more professional.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
listen,
and all that
type of
stuff.
If you want to be real professional, get your own domain name. You know, you can.
I did look at that.
You know, you can have. I mean, I don't think you'll get, and we know it's not Smith, but you can't get smith.com.au. But I actually know your last name, and I reckon you'd get that .com.au or just .au. And you can
I
do that.
I did find it.
Yeah.
I did look at it the other day. I just happened to do it. But there was one site, the .com site, was much more expensive than the .com.au.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but the .com.au needs an ABN, a business name to get. The .coms are really cheap and easy. And also .coms are easy to say. That's why I spent the money on EFTM.com. It's just easy to say.
So who do you recommend using for a domain name? Because my husband will have the same issue.
I buy all my domains through GoDaddy.
I looked at Google.
I think sell domain names if you want to try and set it up through Gmail. It'll kind of do it all for you. But I mean, it doesn't. They're all pretty much the same price.
Good luck, Teresa.
It sounds like you got some fun ahead of you.
I do. Thank you so much for your help.
Absolute pleasure. Get in touch anytime. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you.
Cheers. Look, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, but there's also I'm buoyed by the questions that Teresa asked because they show an intelligence about risk. You know what I mean? Like, we want people to understand the potential risks and that security. Like, should I use Gmail? Great question. Lock it down and yes. Good on you. Thanks for getting in touch, Teresa. Send me an SMS. We'll get you on the show. We did that with Colin. G'day, Colin. How are you doing?
Good, thank you, Trevor. Yourself?
You know, last time you were on, I just couldn't help but talk about how you sound like Tommy Radonikis.
Yeah.
You get that a lot or what?
No.
Really?
Mate. Where's he come from?
He was a footballer.
New South Wales.
Yeah, you know, well, actually, yes. He was a New South Wales State of Origin coach for a bit there. West Tigers. Oh, yeah. Mate, legend.
Oh, nah.
Anyway,
nah,
Cole, what can I help you for this time?
Sleepy Hollow down here. Mm. Yeah, look, I had a bit of a problem with someone wanting more, some of my stuff, so they broke into the sheds. I'm on a fairly large block.
Yeah.
And of course, we haven't got power to the sheds. It's a small farmer. So I was looking at maybe I've got some camera system on the house through Hike. And I thought, well, if it's possible, I can upgrade the Wi-Fi system I've got here and then maybe put one of the little self-monitoring cameras on the shed with it, you know, with its own little solar panel that works.
Yeah, gotcha. So how far away is the shed?
Probably 60 metres.
Yeah. And what do you have for Wi-Fi today?
Today?
Yeah.
Well, we've got the normal Wi-Fi.
Just a little, 20. Just a little modem that came from your internet provider?
It's a reasonable, no, I bought the modem myself, yes.
Yep. So basically.
Yeah, it's only a new one. I only bought it 12, 18 months ago.
Yeah, right. Okay. And look, range is not something modems and routers do well. That's why we have new things called mesh systems, and they create a huge ability to build the range in your home and around your home. The problem I've got for you is to build that Wi-Fi out is probably going to cost you, you know, like the minimum for a good mesh system is $1,000. Netgear just launched one which is $4,000. So let's be real, it's a big cost. And if that's quite new, then you know, it's a big expense. I think you're better off investing in better cameras that have range. So let me throw this at you. When I was at CS in Las Vegas, the people at Swan showed me a camera system that is designed exactly for what you're talking about. In fact, they talk about 100 metres or 600 metres away, as long as it's open air line of sight. So what this is, and I'm looking at their website, it's $950 for two cameras, right? Two cameras. And there's a little box that you put, I guess you put it near the window, but you certainly put it in the house, right, near the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
And then the cameras have a big antenna on them, and they have built-in solar panels, right? So you can put one on the shed, one looking at the shed, like you know what I've done? I've put a camera on the telegraph pole. You could strap a camera to a tree near the shed, pointing at the shed.
Oh, yeah.
You could put one in the shed, and mate, the security that you get from that could be exactly what you need. So either way, you're going to spend a bit of money, but I just think rather than completely upgrading your Wi-Fi, which is currently okay, why not get a better camera? I think that's probably the smarter move. So, honestly, Swan Max Ranger is what it's called. Have a look at that one.
Max Ranger.
Max Ranger, yeah. Have a look at that online and see what you can do to get that. All right? So,
all righty.
Yeah.
So I can monitor it. Oh, yeah, that's the Wi-Fi, so it's back on my phone. Yes.
Exactly. So it has all the same things, the notifications and all that kind of jazz, but it's just built around range and giving you this extended range for the camera. So, yeah, well worth a look, my friend.
Okay, we shall try.
Good on you, Colin. Thanks for getting in touch again, mate.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks very much, Trevor.
Good on you, mate. Excellent stuff. I mean, look, there's a lot to unpack, and I could probably dig into what router he's got and whether it supports mesh and a bunch of things, but I actually think the bigger issue is the camera, full stop. That distance of 60 meters, even a mesh router on the window is still going to create some, range issues for the camera. Cause like my camera on the telegraph pole is not 60 meters away. It's 10 meters away and it's at the extremity of my Wi-Fi. So I think that scenario that he just listed is exactly why the Max Ranger was created. Swan Max Ranger 4K Solar, and this is a two camera system, $949, probably an absolute winner.
EFTM.
This is the EFTM podcast.
EFTM podcast.
Thank you for listening. If you've got a tech question, EFTM.com, just click Ask Trev or 0477 657 657. Send me a text. Sue's on the line. G'day, Sue.
Hello.
What can I do for you, Sue?
I just want to know which is the best security cameras to get.
What sort of budget have we got in mind, and what are we trying to protect and how?
Well, just that there's a lot of action up at my house, like a lot of different people that go next door and everything like that.
So you want something outside? Really, you want something outside on the front of the house?
Yes.
Do you think you only need one, or do you think you need multiple?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, right.
It's only a unit.
What sort of? Oh, okay. So is it a unit block or like multiple?
It's a unit. It's two, but the other one's in another street. So it's just really one.
Like a duplex. Okay. So look, have you got Wi-Fi and internet at home?
I think I've got Wi-Fi.
Right. Well, is your TV got Netflix?
No.
Do you have a laptop or any other tablet or anything that you use around the house?
No.
So it's possible you don't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, okay. I'm not that smart.
No, that's okay. Have you got do you have a monthly bill other than your mobile phone with like a Telstra or someone?
No.
Yeah,
no.
So you probably don't have Wi-Fi at home. And that's the biggest stumbling block. All these cameras basically connect to Wi-Fi. Now, there are some that don't. So, for example, Uniden and Swan have systems that are cables. So there's a little box you put inside your house and then you run a cable out to the camera.
That sounds a bit complicated.
I was just going to say, feels like it's probably an overreach because it's not as simple as just whacking a camera up on the wall. I don't know the simplest solution for you because there are solutions. There are some cameras you can put a 4G SIM card in, but then you've got to pay for another SIM card. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to find out, do you get on with your neighbor?
I don't have anything to do with them because they're sort of over there and I'm over here sort of, do you know what I mean? The road there's on different to where I am.
Yep, sure. So it's like, they're on the side street. I was just thinking out loud whether or not if they were close enough you could kind of, maybe slip them $10 a month and borrow their Wi-Fi because, all you need is a Wi-Fi network. And if you don't have one, then it becomes a challenge for you. But, putting in Wi-Fi in your home would cost you probably a couple hundred bucks up front and then $60 to $80 a month, right? That's the cost of having internet at home. Now, obviously, that adds some other features, like you can put Netflix or Stan on your TV and you might be able to get other things. But just for security cameras, it's a big extra expense. So I think the question for you is, can you get Wi-Fi some way? It sounds ridiculous, but do you have Wi-Fi? So is there someone else in your life, like any kids or nephews or brothers or sisters or anyone that can give you a little bit of assistance?
Yeah, well, I might ring Jake up later on. He lives in Hobart.
Right.
But he's more into tune than things like that than what I am.
Yep. And look, have they been to visit in the last little while?
No.
So ask Jake whether or not you think you have Wi-Fi, and then you need to make the next decision. Because really, the next decision is: do you get Wi-Fi? And then cameras are cheap. For $150, you can get a camera to put it front door. No problems at all.
Yeah.
But they don't work without internet Wi-Fi at your home.
Yeah. All right then. Thanks for that. I'll ring up Jake today and find out.
All right, no worries at all, Sue. But good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. Anytime. Good on you, Sue.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks for getting in touch. It's a strange one, isn't it? Because you're listening, you're thinking exactly what I'm thinking. It's like, who doesn't have internet? All right. But then I think of my mum, and she wouldn't think to get internet. But she knows she needs it because when they moved and they're staying at a kind of a borrowed place, there's no internet. So Trev had to give him a modem with a 4G SIM card in it. Trev put a Boost mobile SIM card in it, and then like 2 weeks, 4 weeks later, they ring me. They go, it's not working anymore. I went, it's definitely working. Is there a green light on? Yeah, there's a green light on. Why is it not working? Well, Trev did a check. They'd used all the data. Mobile data is really expensive. So people do need internet. They they kind of sometimes don't realize why. And when my mum sets up her new place, I'll put internet in because I know the Wi-Fi will mean I can put cameras there and she can have Netflix on the TV and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, there's always a good reason to have internet. But, you know, it's also $80 a month that if you don't need it now, why do you need it ever? So that's a tough one for Sue. But Jake, whoever that is, I'm tipping her son maybe, can hopefully help her out with that. Taking your calls. If you've got a tech question, you know where to go. 0477-657-657. Send me a text or a WhatsApp message, or you can go to EFTM.com, click on Ask Trev. Troy did that. G'day, Troy.
Hey, how you going?
Good, mate. We're in a truck. What are we hauling?
We've got today fire extinguishers.
You got a truck full of fire extinguishers? That's wild. Yes. See, that's a great example of, you know, because I listen to Rod Hanafy talk with Luke Boner every Tuesday morning and Truckee Tuesday, and there's a lot of talk, you know, truckies and, you know, we're moving the nation. You don't think about that. Like when you've got to sell or set up, you know, 200 fire extinguishers in a building, or when, you know, retailers across a state need fire extinguishers, they've all got to be moved there. Like,
yeah.
They don't just appear, do they, Troy?
No, that's wishful thinking.
What's the craziest thing you've ever hauled, mate?
About 10 tonnes of gold.
Did you say gold?
Yes, gold.
Lights and sirens in front and behind you?
Unmarked cars, yes.
Wow, that's sick. Yeah, anyway, yeah. That's a story for a barbecue one day, I reckon. What can I do for you today?
Well, wife is after a dash cam.
Yep.
One that will have cameras front and back, and when she's parked, she's worried about other cars hitting and, you know, bumping the car and running away sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, so
just want to get some feedback on them.
Mate, the parking mode is the most challenging part of that story because lots of cameras have parking mode, but generally you need to have them installed properly. Now, I don't know if you're a tinkerer, but I'm not an auto electrician. I tried it with a Mazda and I went, I can't work it out because it's got to be, you know, either wired into the fuse box or a bunch of different things. So I pay a bloke when I get a new car, you know, every 4 or 5 years or whatever it is, I pay a bloke and he comes and for a couple hundred bucks gets installed, right? So I want it done properly and that means that I get alerts when there's stuff going on around the car in parking mode. So essentially, parking mode is what you want to search for most importantly. A lot of the Uniden cameras come with that. So Uniden is a brand that I've used a lot of and so I have great confidence in. I think that what's your price point? Where do you want it with a budget to fall?
Not anywhere north of 500.
Okay. And look, do you think you're going to need to do install as well as that? Because, no, look, let's keep it simple. There's a $200 dash cam from Uniden called the iGo Cam 45R. Now, the R in any Uniden camera means it's got a rear. And you can see it on the box as well. It's this little tiny camera. Mate, they are so easy to install. You can run the cables yourself. I reckon you're smart enough to do that. The issue is purely the parking mode. And this one clearly says it gives you peace of mind when the car is parked and whatnot. But there's a little asterisk next to that which says parking mode only works with the optional, in this case, hardwire kit. So, mate, you just need to buy the hardwire kit, which clearly couldn't cost more than $200 because the camera's $200, right? I'm tipping it's like $50. Let me search for it. Uniden hardwire kit, dash cam. Some of their dash cams come with it. Hardwire kit for smart dash cams. And doesn't tell me how much it is. Brilliant, great website. Really well done, Uniden. $50, all right? I'm seeing it at Officeworks for crying out loud. So the hardwire kit, when I opened it up and tried to use it, was literally just something you plug into a fuse box. So if you want to have a muck around with it, you'll probably get it sorted. Otherwise, you'll probably know someone who is an auto electrician or something who can probably help you out. But, mate, I'd just go with that. It's got a 3-inch little screen on it. It'll probably give you things like speed display, so it'll tell you the speed that you're doing and give you information about the speed in the area. Mate, great camera, everything you need. Uniden iGo Cam 45R, $200, another 50 for the hardwire kit, you're sorted.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay.
All right. So happy wife, happy life. Did she request it, or is it something you kind of said to her you're worried about?
Well, she was inquiring about it, you know.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, well, who better to go to than you?
Okay. Please.
So,
what a grab. If we had a promo department, that'd be in the promos. You're a good man. And look, I do think there's a piece of mind to it. I want to say that, you know, not everything's always guaranteed to be recorded. Like, you know, this camera's a front and back. So if something happens into the side of your car while you're parked, you're not going to see who door-dinged you unless they explicitly walked. You know what I mean? Like, just be careful that you don't expect it to do more than it does.
Yeah, no, well, it's all right. I'll explain it to the wife.
Yeah, good idea, mate. Good idea. All right, Troy, enjoy the fire extinguishers. Next time there's gold involved, let's talk.
Yeah, okay. All right.
The great heist. I'm sure that would end your career. All right, mate. Cheers, buddy.
Well, I could retire then.
Yeah, well, we would. We'd both retire on squillions.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Trevor.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for getting in touch. Did he say 10 ton? That's wild. So convert tons to ounces. Okay. 10 tons is 352. Well, hang on. You know I'm doing the numbers here, right? Okay. Let's just 352,740. Calculator. 352,740 multiplied by price of gold. I'm sure they do it in ounces, don't they? Price of gold in ounces. Okay, yeah, here we go. US dollars multiplied by 2333.94 because we have to be accurate. Holy hell. That is 800 million. That's a billion Australian dollars. That doesn't make sense. Couldn't have been 10 tons. Should I buy some gold? I don't know. I feel like it's... should we own gold? I don't know. Is the world going to end? Did gold prices go up? Oh, my God. I just looked at the price of gold. And it's got like a Bitcoin-style hockey stick going on since the end of last year. Wild price increase. Oh, we're zoomed out. It's got a consistent trajectory, doesn't it? Look at that. It did go up in 2020 pretty well with COVID. That's very interesting. Price of gold. Look, I'm not an investor. Don't take this as financial advice. But, you know, if you've got a truck full of gold, I'm pretty sure those unmarked cars had someone trained on you. It wasn't just the people around you they were looking at. It was you, Troy, the truck driver, as well. Imagine that. A lorry or a truck full of gold. Anyway, we digress. EFTM.com.
EFTM. You're listening to the EFTM podcast.
EFTM.
Get in touch if you've got a tech question. Cameron's on the line. G'day, Cameron.
G'day, Trevor. How are you?
Real good, mate. What can I do for you?
Looking to get a projector, something for the outdoors, and a screen perhaps for the kids to occupy themselves outside during winter still, where we can rug up and watch something around a fire pit or something like that. But, yeah, looking to get some tips on what to look for and what not to look for and
Father of the year sending the kids outside in winter. What's going on there?
Oh, you know.
I love that you added we'll rug them up, right?
Yeah, well, you can't leave them out there in the cold.
Just put a fire pit on, yeah, good. So, look, there's a couple of things about this and I think it's really important to state because I love the idea of doing this, but it's really fraught with cost issues if you go too hard because, man, you can spend big bucks on a projector and then you're like, we didn't use it very much. What was the point of this? So keeping it real simple, then what I would give you my advice is anytime I've done outdoor projector stuff, it's got to be pitch black. So winter's great because it's obviously gets dark earlier. So that's a win, all good, fire pit, no problems. Put the fire pit behind the projector so that it's not projecting through the fire. You should be fine in terms of light leakage. Like the Samsung Freestyle is an unbelievable little bit of kit at $1,200. It does everything because it's a TV, right? It's got the apps built into it. It's a projector. It's awesome. $1,200, and then what I did, I went to Amazon and I just bought bought a screen for like $30, and it's not perfect. We just hang it off the clothesline and we weigh it down with bricks. You know, it is what it is, right?
Yep.
But then, mate, honestly, if it's not a daily thing, then I feel like that's a lot of money. And, mate, Big W have a product from Laser for $400 that is a projector screen, as in a blow-up, like it becomes an outdoor movie theater screen, and a bloody soundbar all in one bundle. Honestly, for most of what you're going to do, it's probably all you need. You're just going to need to plug something into it. You're just going to need to plug a laptop or something into the projector so that it has content. That's the only negative is it doesn't have the apps and everything built in. It's pretty much all you need. And, mate, for $400, no, the quality is not going to be unbelievable, but how bloody cool sitting outside, toasting marshmallows, watching a movie, watching Minecraft, who cares? Just enjoy it. I would probably just go with that. It's called the Laser Outdoor Cinema Bundle. It's $400, and you'll end up having people round. Pretty cool.
That sounds really good.
Just remember, pitch black works.
No, very, very much noted there in capital letters. Thanks very much for that.
All right, mate. No worries at all. Thanks for getting in touch.
No dramas at all. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Cameron asked that question initially in the EFTM Man Cave, and I thought it was a good question for us all, which is why I wanted to get him on and actually share the question, because that's the thing. These projectors are cool, but honestly, without that pitch black, it's not that fun. Like I think I told the story, we watched the Australian Open final with Ash Barty at our place. We had people round. Like that match was at like 8:15, 8:30, and in summer, it was still not pitch black, dusk. It was hard to watch the first set, but after that, it was awesome. So just bear that in mind and you're good to go. Thank you for listening. Get in touch if you've got a tech question. Ray sent me an SMS, 0477-657-657. G'day, Ray.
Oh, g'day, Trev. How are you going?
Good, mate. What can I do for you?
No, I'm just really trying to find out. I need to get a new mobile phone for when this 5G comes in. And trying to track down a nice little phone. I believe you were talking about one on the Triple M show.
Yep.
A couple of days ago.
It would have been the Nothing phone. I'm still using I'm still using it. It's called Nothing. It's hilarious because I gave one to my son because I had two of them from JB Hi-Fi. I hope they don't care, but I'm not sending them back because I really like it. So I'm still using it. And I had a spare one and my son's phone had hit its life limit. It'd been about 4 years, 5 years. So I thought he's deserved it. He hasn't broken one. And he's telling his mates, I've got a new phone. And they say, what sort of phone is it? He says, Nothing. So it's really helpful for cracking jokes, right? But so the $529 one is called the Nothing 2A. Mate, I don't regret not putting my SIM card in the $1,000 Nothing 2 because this does everything I need. Like I'm using it every day. It's great. No issues. Snappy performance. No issues. Great camera. Honestly, the only alternative I'd give you is Motorola literally today announced a new phone called the Edge 50 Fusion. It's Edge going to be $599. Comes in a few funky cool colors. And I would say that would probably – it might one up the Nothing just in terms of general performance and overall features. But either of those two phones – will make you a very happy man. They'll last many, many years. And, well worth a look, my friend.
Okay, I'll have to check out the Motorola Edge, is it?
Edge 50 Fusion. There's another Edge again, like that's $1,000. So like all companies, they have different products and different price points. So Nothing have two phones. One's $1,000, the other's $529. Motorola has, they have phones at $179, $299. They have lots of them. But the new ones are the Edge 50. And they're $999 and $599.
And the cheap ones are just as good as the dear ones.
Mate, the only big difference is the dear ones have a slightly better processor, which means if you put them side by side, you might notice some performance improvement, like an app loads quicker or something. Broadly, the cameras are pretty much the same. So yeah, it's so slight and incremental. I'd be amazed if you noticed the difference.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm sort of maybe heading towards the nothing phone.
Yeah, mate, go and have a look. Go to JB's and have a look. Have a look at it. They look funky and cool too. So, mate, you'll win. You'll have a great time.
All right. I know maybe I'd look at the Motorola, but Motorola's been around for years. I've never really sort of chased up Motorolas.
Mate, they're a very different brand now. They look great. Have a feel of one of them in the hand as well. You might be impressed. That's the great thing about JB Hi-Fi is you can just go in and muck around with these phones. They're there to feel and really experience so that you can get a sense of what it's going to look like.
All right, I'll take your advice and go check them both out because I really want to – well, got no choice, got to upgrade anyway. So.
Time. You got a 3G phone, do you, Ray?
Which one?
You've got a 3G phone, do you?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's one of those Oppo A93, I think it is. Right. Or 92. Right. I think it's going to be – obsolete.
Well, it will be at some point, but, you know, if you feel like you need a new phone, go and grab one of those and have a look.
All right, Trevor, thanks very much for that.
My pleasure, mate. Thanks for getting in touch.
And I like listening to your show when you're on the Triple M show.
Mate, I appreciate it. I really do. Yeah. Thanks, mate.
And I watch you on Channel 9 too.
Oh, okay, that's the man.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. Cheers, mate.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Thank you. What a legend. I appreciate the ego stroke at the end. That's all what I need in life. Get in touch, EFTM.com.
EFTM.
This is the EFTM Podcast.
EFTM Podcast.
Taking your calls if you've got a tech question, EFTM.com, or you can send me an SMS or a WhatsApp, 0477 657 657. Oliver's on the line. G'day, Oliver.
Hey, Trev. How's it going?
Good, mate. You're a WhatsApp man. See, I love the idea of the different channels people choose to use. Like, you know, I would WhatsApp. I'm like you, I would WhatsApp. Oh, is there a reason you WhatsApp, not SMS, for example?
Oh, I think WhatsApp was just easy because I sort of had it installed. I heard that you mentioned last week that you're now kind of taking text file WhatsApp, so I thought I'd just quickly shoot that one through.
Yeah, good man. Love your work. So what were you listening to? What happened? How can you help me?
Yeah, so last week I was listening to the podcast and I heard someone call you up about an iPhone which was having a couple of issues, one of them being when he was trying to take calls, there was kind of like muffled sound. And then I think there was also another issue that he had.
Yeah, the charging port. I think it was Sean. He said the speaker wasn't working, like the ear speaker, and it wouldn't charge well. I even said to him, have you tried getting the fluff out of the charging port? What's your feedback on that one?
Yeah, so as I was listening to the call, one of the things that came to mind was Apple has sort of a page on their website called the Exchange and Support Program. So basically, if they've got, you know, a known issue with certain devices, they'll normally pop up a page. They won't always do it, so some of them are kind of more hidden. Mm. But there was one that came to mind for the iPhone 12 and 12 Pro, I think. It was a no sound issue where basically, like, Apple, you know, would take the device in and do a bit of a repair for that. And I guess, I had my own experience with this a little while back when I had an iPhone 6, right? Mm. And the iPhone 6 has had the dead display issue. So it was kind of like the multi-touch display would be dead in some places. Right. And I remember, I took it to Apple and that one actually wasn't published on their website. But I remember, I took it into the Genius Bar. They replaced it. The replacement had the same issue, so I got it replaced again, eventually to the point where they just decided to upgrade it to a 6S. So it actually kind of worked out quite well.
Nice. But
I suppose the key thing is, it's always worth ducking into Apple, just asking, because chances are there may be a known quality issue, even if they haven't published it on their website.
Yep.
There may be something that they're aware of that they can kind of fix either under warranty without you having to really fight for it, I guess.
Well, let me give you this feedback from Sean. It was Sean last week, and this is because I said, mate, yeah, definitely take it to Apple. I think we had a conversation about, mate, get it covered by consumer law. I was trying to arm him with the whole fight for your rights kind of thing, right?
He said,
and you'll love this because, remember, for people that didn't hear it, his issues were he couldn't hear on the speaker and the charging port wouldn't work all the time. He said, g'day, just wanted to give you an update after I took my phone to Apple today. It was an excellent experience. And I must say it was quick and the lady served me, fixed the phone, was great. They cleaned out the charging port, which I thought I had, but they used a specific tool for it and I was quite amazed how much fluff came out.
Oh, wow.
And now everything plugs in really well. Then, get this, this is honestly, this blew my mind. and maybe Apple wouldn't love to hear this, but anyway, then she pulled out some blue tack to clean the speaker. She pushed it in quite hard to the speaker, and she said, she stated they get a build-up over time, and it was crazy how well it worked because it's, you know, that tiny little bit of small mesh, she said, and the blue tack removed a perfect shape of whatever is built up in there, and now it's like new. So,
see, that's interesting because the thing is as well, like Apple don't publish a lot of this on their website as well. So it's like it's kind of one of those things that not many people are going to turn to by default, right?
No. And also they're not going to say on their website, hey, get some blue tack because he said the lady pushed it in real hard. And I'm looking at the iPhone, well, this is a 16, and it's a tiny spot there. But I'm now thinking, see – I don't think there'd be anything in there because I rarely actually hold this phone up to my head. It's the phone I use for the Today Show. But you think about it, it's up there next to your ear. Who knows what's going in there? And a bit of blue tack and his phone. Because remember, he was on an iPhone 12, and I've got to tell you, that's a great phone. So
yeah, I'm on a 12 speaking with you at the moment.
Mate, so. And you know what you're going to do right after this? Blue tack.
I'm going to grab some blue tack. Yeah.
Now, just a word of warning, folks, okay? Be careful what you do with the blue tack. I don't want to be responsible. He said she pushed it in really hard, which, because you probably need, because you can imagine, you know, it's that joy. I love blue tack. It's that joy of it kind of pushing through those tiny little holes. But if you push it too far, then it's going to, you don't want to leave blue tack in there. But what an awesome fix.
Yeah, you might end up with a very very sticky speaker, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wonder what the tool or what they did to the charging port though.
Yeah, that's the thing I've always wondered because also too, like, you know, I actually used to work in like internal tech support, right? And, you know, one of the things that we kind of did to get the lint out of the port was we kind of used like the corner of a tissue to try and like pry it out, right? Because you needed something soft that wouldn't affect the port, right? So like maybe they have some sort of like brush and or something like that because even Apple kind of normally says don't put something that's, you know, like
a toothpick or too hard. Yeah, you don't want to scratch. You don't want to put a bit of wire in there and scratch the receptors that the actual charger needs to connect to, the contacts. So
yeah, that's a bit risky. That's it.
Well, that's good feedback, mate. So bottom line, check. So is there a place you look, because you sent me a link and that's great, but is there a place you look for these service listed items?
So you can just, if you just basically Google, so for any of your listeners, Google Apple support programs, right? And I'm just doing it here as well, like you normally do live on the line.
Apple support programs. Apple
service,
yeah, right.
Yeah, Apple service programs. And there's a bunch of them there. So there's one for like Apple Watch Series 6, AirPods with
Pro.
Sound issues.
Wow.
You know, there's, yeah, like a few different ones. So they don't publish all of them here. You know, even back when they did that whole like wall adapter thing, there was one for that. The other one that I've had before that was a really interesting one was like the MacBook Pro 13-inch 2015 that had like the display where it would kind of like peel off. It was called DisplayGate, I think they called it. And so that was one where they had to kind of replace the whole display. And so there's been ones that have come and gone there. But it's a good little spot just in case.
Nice one. All right. Well, that's awesome. Great to learn and love the fact that Sean got himself sorted. And isn't it like it's always my experience that Apple have great customer service. So it's always good to hear that from someone, and Sean didn't have to argue his case. So good stuff, Oliver. Thanks for getting in touch,
which is good, yeah. And also, too, really love Two Blokes Talking Tech and EFTM. So keep up the great work.
Thanks, Oliver. Really appreciate it, mate. Thanks for getting in touch.
Talk to you soon, Trev.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you. And that's the thing, right? Oliver didn't have a question, didn't want to buy something, but he heard something and thought he could give some input to that person. I love that because I don't have all the answers. I'm making this up sometimes, like I'm struggling. No, sometimes your knowledge can be shared with other people. So don't ever hesitate to get in touch if you've got knowledge that you think you could share with other people. Thanks for getting in touch, everyone, this week. Cracking show. I'm going to be in London next week, so no show next week. We'll be back the week after. And then there'll be no show the week after that because I'll be in Seattle. And then we'll be back the week after. Then I think there'll be, oh, my God, it's going to be wild. We've got a bit going on, okay? But I've given you solid value this week. In return for having, well, I say a week off, but I've still got to get up at 0 o'clock and spend many hours London time overnight talking to radio stations. So it's not actually time off, but I just logistically a struggle to do the podcast from London this time because I'm hoping to pack light. So we'll do it again in a couple of weeks. If you've got a tech question, please get in touch, 0477 657 657. You can SMS or WhatsApp, and we'll get you on the show. Producer Rob, thank you for your support and help. He'll be in touch if you get in touch to try and line you up for next show. You're listening to EFTM, Trevor Long with you, and we'll be back again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening.